Welcome to this new episode at Economics Design. Today we have with us Eunju, our Economics Design Analyst. Hi, Eunju.
Hi, everyone.
Today we're going to talk about this new metric that she's created called the Price Deviation Metric. So to get started, let's understand a little bit about that. What is the Price Deviation Metric, Eunju?
Yes. So basically, the Price Deviation Metric is a statistical analysis on how the market price of a stablecoin token has deviated from its fixed price over time. So we all know that stablecoins have to peg to a fixed value, and the ability of these coins pegging to the value, we can actually show that using the price deviation, which is how this price has been different from this peg value and how price has been performing for the past historical time period.
Great. So basically, it's a way to measure how much price has deviated, and this is relevant to stablecoins. So why is this important? Why do we need this information?
Yes. So basically, when before this, when we are talking about price volatility and price changes of stablecoins, most of the time, we are just using simple metrics such as standard deviation of the price and variance of the price. But that metric is actually not very informative because it does not show about the specific trends in price changes and does not show how the behavior of the price has been moving around its peg value. So by using the price deviation, we can actually tell if there's any significant trends in how the prices have changed over time. So is it going above or below the peg value more often? And also how long does the price take to come back to its equilibrium value? And this is an important metric because, first of all, this applies to all types of stablecoins. And this is especially important for the algorithm-based stablecoins because most of the algorithm-based stablecoins, they are actually using very different types of algorithms in maintaining their equilibrium, maintaining their peg value. This actually adds to the difficulty of comparison, especially if we want to compare the stability of different types of tokens based on different algorithms. But with this kind of price deviation metric, we can just look at the end result of their balancing actions and deduce if the stablecoin is actually doing a good job in maintaining its fixed price. And this will actually also help us to choose the stablecoin to invest in based on our needs and also on its ability to maintain at the equilibrium price in the long term.
You're saying that this metric is more relevant to algorithmic stablecoins than, let's say, collateral-backed stablecoin, 100% reserve-based stablecoin, or a mixture of different kind of mechanisms. Can you explain again why? How is it more relevant to algorithm-based stablecoins?
So actually, we can use this metric to apply to all types of stablecoins, but for those stablecoins that are backed with reserve, be it the on-chain assets or the off-chain fiat assets, the information is actually more transparent over there, and we can deduce a lot of quantitative information from the reserve. But for algorithm-based, the algorithms, we can only describe them in qualitative words, and it's very difficult to come up with a very standardized set of quantitative indicators. So if we're just looking at the price deviation, this is actually an easier way for us to make comparisons and also to perhaps quantify the ability of these coins in holding on to their peg value. This will actually help us to make cross token comparisons, and especially when we are comparing stable coins of different types. By using this set of standardized indicators, we can get a more informative and a more quantitative way of analyzing things.
So basically, here we're talking a lot about, we're trying to understand financial risk. And with traditional stable coins, or stable coins that is backed by collaterals, that's non-algorithmic, there's a way to quantify the kind of financial risks in place. Whereas with algorithmic stable coins, it's a bit harder because there are too many moving parts. And at the end of the day, we want to have some way to quantify financial risk. And so you came up with this metric called the price deviation metric.
Yes.
Right. So let's move on to the slides and see what else you would like to share. And a case study. how can we use this metric as a case study to analyze a token, for example, FRAX token?
So first of all, this price deviation metric is actually very relevant to all financial risk analysis. And the basic rule of financial risk analysis here is that when the stablecoin is more able to maintain to its pegged value, there's actually less financial risk exposure because we see that the price has been revolving closely around the equilibrium, and we don't have to and so there's a less chances of a sudden shock. And also the financial risk exposure is lower when the price is able to be put back to the pegged price within a shock interval. So how long does each price shock require to be put back to the $1 point, and how prices have been performing in the historical time periods? These are very important to our price analysis and also the financial risk exposures. And next, the data used for this analysis is actually very simple. We just need a time series of the prices of a specific stablecoin. And this time series, it needs to be at a fixed time interval, such as daily, hourly, and minutely. And the minimum sample size here is 50, but we can always bear in mind that the more data points we have, the more accurate result we'll actually achieve. And about the calculations, so first of all, we get the list of the time series of the price, and from that, we can actually calculate a deviation. For simplicity, the deviation here is just calculated as the token price of that time frame minus the one dollar peg value. So if the price is going above $1 at the moment, you have a positive deviation, and if the price is below one, the deviation will be negative. So based on that, we separate the positive deviations and the negative deviations, and we can pull out a simple table of the descriptive statistics to see that if there's any general trend and also the distributions of the positive and negative deviations. And next, we can also try to calculate the changes between two consecutive time points. So this is a calculation of the magnitude of change in between each time period. And we'll also take note of the direction of change here to see if the price is being put back to the peg value after a deviation, or is the price not put back and still going in a way that is going away from the peg value. So that's for the explanation, and we'll give a walkthrough with the example of FRAX. And in this analysis, we are using FRAX because of its complicated and a unique way of maintaining its value. It uses a combination of the USDC reserve and also an algorithm that alters the collateralization ratio, which subsequently affects the demand and supply of the FRAX token. So this is a very unique combination, and we cannot use and because we do not see such combinations in the other tokens, it is very difficult to form direct comparisons of with the other algorithms. So we'll be using this price deviation that goes from the results and the empirical price of the tokens. Yep. So this is a plot of the hourly FRAX price for the past 90 days. And we see that it is constantly revolving around the $1 peg value, and with some shocks in between. But as time gets closer to the current time, the deviation is much smaller. And from that, we calculate the hourly price deviation. Based on that price deviation, we can actually see that for 69% of the time, the deviation is positive, meaning that the price of FRAX is actually above $1. And only about 30% of the time, there is a negative deviation. So we can actually see that the price of FRAX is constantly going above the peg value. And this could be due to the algorithm that is controlling the price, that controlling the supply and demand. And upon a closer look, we actually realized that for time frames with a positive deviation, that average positive deviation is actually higher than the average deviation when it is negative. However, the maximum positive deviation is actually much smaller than the maximum negative deviation. So this may actually indicate that the algorithm of FRAX, it allows the price to be pulled back to equilibrium. So we can actually see that for the algorithm of FRAX, it is more able to pull back the price back to the peg value when the price is actually higher than $1, and then the ability of it pulling the price up when the price is falls below $1. So this is an interesting observation here, and because it hints that the algorithm of FRAX actually have different ability in maintaining the equilibrium price in different situations, and also due to the different types of the market shock that the token is facing, the impact of such changes may be different. And next, we can actually look at the directional change of these prices. So an important mechanism of the FRAX algorithm is that when the price is positive, and when the deviation is positive, the algorithm should be able to pull back the price back to the $1 point in the next time frame, meaning that it is good for the price. It'll be a good observation if we see the price decreasing in the next time frame. And so upon analyzing the different price movements of each time frame and its subsequent time frame, we see that actually for majority of the time, the price is able to come back to the peg value within the next time frame. So this actually indicates very good controlling ability of the algorithm in pulling back the price. And even for the 34% of the time where price is not pulled back immediately, it is really pulled back within the next two or three time frames. So we can actually see that this algorithm, together with the supply and demand mechanism and also the USDC reserve, they're actually doing a good job in maintaining the value of FRAX at one USD. So that's for the observations. We see that in summary, we see that there's more deviations in the positive directions than the negative directions. And there's a higher average deviations in the positive changes, but less magnitude, but there's higher average deviation in the positive changes, but when we're talking about the maximum magnitude, it's actually lower when the price deviation is positive. And also, most of the time, price is able to be moved back to the fixed value in the next hour. And this is this indicates that FRAX is doing a good job in maintaining its price at $1. Hence, we can conclude that from the perspective of price deviation, the level of financial risk exposure for FRAX is actually can be considered relatively low. Yes, but that's all for the analysis. But by the end of the day, we do have to look out for some important points in such financial risk analysis. And so first of all, although the time series data only requires the time frame to be on a fixed interval, we have to understand that longer time intervals may actually make the results inaccurate and give us a wrong conclusion on the financial risk. So in our analysis, we are using the hourly data, but the hourly data gives a good description of the price movements for a long time. But if we want to make this more accurate, we can actually shorten the time period of data being used, such as we can use price data per every 10 minutes and also per minute. And this will actually give us a better conclusion on how the mechanism of token is actually moving. And it's also difficult to segregate the impact of shocks and the price balancing mechanism. This is because that prices of tokens are actually being impacted by many, many factors. So for the case of FRAX, it's not just the ability of algorithms in pulling back the prices, but also due to the magnitudes of these different shocks in the market or just shocks in the FRAX token. And if you're just looking at the price data, this is something that is difficult to distinguish. and we have to always check our results against the actual events and happenings in the market to ensure that we are coming up with a fair conclusion. And also, the result is actually heavily affected by the choice of data being used. So for our example, we choose the period of 90 days because it gives a good idea of how the price mechanism has been performing in a recent period. But if we are actually put the time frame to be longer or shorter, the result could be different due to the different shocks that is existent in the market. So these are some of the points that we have to consider. And just similar to all different types of views analysis, we need to stay clear of the goals of the analysis and always be aware of these issues so that we can actually make fair judgments and also to make an actual comparison with the view market price data and also our conclusion.
Thank you. That's very interesting. I think this is a lot of food for thought for all of you guys to think about. And feel free to get to ask any of the questions in the comments below and just test this metric that we are exploring. This is still a very new space and we're coming up with a lot of very interesting metrics to quantify the risk, to quantify the robustness of all these mechanisms. So thank you very much, Eunsoo. And we'll look forward to your questions and we'll answer them. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for staying throughout this entire video. If you're interested to learn more and you want to join the community, do check out our Discord, check out our Academy, and you get to watch these videos for free as well, without any ads. And also grab the book that I've talked about earlier on. The book summarizes a lot of what we're trying to build, what we're trying to design, and the different aspects that can be changed during the entire design process. We also just launched Econteric. Econteric is really economics plus esoteric because this space is so complicated and so difficult. What we want to do is to make it easier for anyone to come and learn and be part of this system. So in Econteric, we are breaking down the different analytics and different data to give you more insights to understand the robustness from a very fundamental level of the health of this ecosystem. So check out econteric.com and I'll see you there. Bye.